Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world. Leaders are like the wind. They're just passing through. Beautiful, beautiful words, beautiful thought as well. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Assalamu alaikum to everyone. This is Martha Naila Abdullah, and it gives me great pleasure to be here with you. I mean, it's like a little girl thing. As I seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, acknowledging that Allah is the one God and there are absolutely no partners with the one God. Absolutely no partners. And as I think of that, I greet you with greetings of peace. But then when I come back to that, the no partners, I have to always ask myself, okay, you're saying that, but is there room or has there been room where you have perhaps at some time had in your thinking of how to get something done, and then you relied upon something so greatly that you truly forgot, I won't say forgot, you omitted the process of, okay, trust Allah, don't worry. And it could be something like your vehicle, something happened to your vehicle and you have to get it repaired. And so you're looking for a mechanic, or, you know, the regular mechanic is not available. So now you're having to figure out, okay, where can I find a mechanic? And then something such as a real incident with myself was at the apartment where my grandchildren and my son and I were living together, and a big three-bedroom apartment, but it was comfortable, and I had my 2018 Chevy Malibu. I had my 2005 Dodge Caravan, roll-down windows. Well, the Malibu had electric windows, right? And so we were comfortable with what we had, but when my van was towed, I wind up thinking to myself, where could it be? Who has it? And then having to pay a whole lot of money to get it back and then leave it for the mechanic, knowing that to Allah, praise be to Allah, that I was able to move past wondering where is it, why did they tow it, and realizing that they towed it with an intent to break it down for parts. And so, you know, in an instant, your mind goes to, wow, all the things that could have happened. So when they say, again, no partners with Allah, truly, you know, when we don't want to get so disenchanted at times to where right there at that moment, we'll find ourselves putting our trust heavily in something or somewhere. You know, either call the police or call a doctor or call the, you know, we're frantic. We get a little frantic. So, alhamdulillah, just crossing my mind, everyone. I'm Martha Naila Abdullah here with you on Community Developmental Stages. That's mental, right? And following this will be CWSC Community Buzz. Let's go to the Quran. And let me ask this. Anyone want to read something from Quran? Perhaps you have something on your mind. I don't want to overlook that perhaps you want to share, that you've read from Quran this week, and you really, it was something about it that you want to share, so you can read it and share it with us, and we'll go from there.
When I share with them, my schedule.
Hold on.
When I wake up, usually, well.
Hold on. In a moment, I'm going to share something from the yesterdays. But anyone, please press 1 on your phone, and that will raise your hand, and we can go from there, okay? Let me know you want to read from Quran. That's what I'm referring to. All right. Let's see here. Okay, no takers, huh? Okay, so we'll go to the Quran, and I was reading Surah Yusuf this week, but I'm going to go to Surah Al-Ankabut, only because yesterday morning as the Imam Adam Beya was reading from Surah Al-Ankabut, and I was reading through it with him, and I said, oh, okay, something stood out to me. It was Ayat 45 that he shared from, but I'm just going to go to the general surah itself. It has 69 ayat or verses. So here with the Yusuf Ali. All right. Okay, and we know Ankabut, you may know, is a spider, right? and it's the 29th surah of Quran. Let me see here. I think it's Ayn. No. Excuse me. It's Alif. Surah itself. Alif, Nun, Kaf, Ba, and Tamabuta. No, I was right. Ayn. Okay. I was thinking Alif. Okay. It is an Ayn. Ayn is the same letter that's used for Ilah, meaning, you know, the Most High. Ilah, the High. And then Nun Ayn, the Nun, the N sound. And then the Kef, the K sound. Then the B, and then it extends the Boo with a wow and the ta at the end. Ayn Thabut. And I guess I'm looking at that because, let's continue on. I won't go into my thinking on, it matters not about my thinking on the spider. Okay, let's just read, all right? Okay. All right, this is because we say we have faith. It's where I'm going with that, with the presentation. Because we say we have faith, and as I presented what I said, that sometimes, you know, could it be our daring onto the road of putting our trust in something else? But alhamdulillah, but yet we say we believe. Praise be to Allah. All right, hold on 1 second. One second, everyone, and must take this call. Yes, my cousin. All right, dear listeners, thank you for your patience there. My cousin, what, he's 77, 78? No, he'll soon be 80. And he's a minister. But alhamdulillah, that has nothing to do with what I'm about to share. He was just calling to confirm that he was feeling better. He had pain in his upper thigh, and he had fallen a month ago. And he said the doctors just said, oh, it's arthritis. Well, guess what? I asked, and because they said arthritis, I said, okay, that's inflammation, swelling. Let's just put an ice pack on it. And he was calling to confirm that he couldn't move his leg before because of the pain being so great. Now he can move his leg. But it's all because of Allah. Praise be to Allah. Last, in between, all because of Allah. But I'm thankful that he's gotten some relief, and that's what he was calling to share that with me. So praise be to Almighty God for that. It definitely puts a smile on my face that Almighty God blesses us to connect with one another and do the right thing. Okay, we're going to go to Surah Ankabut, and I want Yusuf Ali. Oh, I can go to the actual book rather than trying to find it on the computer, right? 29th Surah. You know, we read through the Quran. All right. Get under some good light here and read. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif lam. Ahasibannas an yutraku. أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alif Lam Mim. Do men think that they will be left alone on saying, we believe, and that they will not be tested. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَا يَعْلَمُونَ فَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَا يَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. We did test those before them, and Allah will certainly know those who are true from those who are false. Am حسب الذين يعملون السيئات أن يسبقونا ساء ما يحكمون. Do those who practice evil think that they will get the better of us? Evil is their judgment. من كان يرجو لقاء الله فإن أجل فإن أجل الله لا أت وهو سميع سبحان الله وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. For those whose hopes are in the meeting with Allah in the hereafter, let them strive for the term appointed. So in the hereafter, let them strive is in parentheses, but for the term, and then appointed is in parentheses. By Allah is surely coming, and He hears and knows all things in parentheses. وَمَنْ جَاهَدَ فَإِنَّمَا يُجَاهِدُ لِنَفْسِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. And if any strive, in parentheses, with might and main, close parentheses, they do so for their own souls. For Allah is free of all needs from all creation, or all systems of knowledge, as the Imam places it. And the systems we see, that the processes that happen, how we're involved, those systems. We use the systems to live by, and praise be to Allah. None of it does Allah need, in other words. And finally, وَالَّذِينَ أَمَنُوا وَعِمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْهُمْ سيئاتهم ولنجزيتهم أحسن الذي كانوا يعملون. Those who believe and work righteous deeds, from them shall we blot out all evil. Hear that? In parentheses, that may be, close parentheses, in them, and we shall reward them according to the best of their deeds. Allahu Akbar. God is greater. How much better can we get it, right? I mean, so those who believe and work righteous deeds can't pretend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears and sees all, knows all. So what do? We hold nothing back. So in our developing process, in our developing stage, let me go to this point of it. And please press 1 if you want to share something. We're going to take a pause for the calls in just a moment, too. But can you imagine, as we are being wakened and as our bodies go to sleep, you know, because we can't fight it, and go to sleep, and we have plans for the next day or the next month or whenever, next year, we have plans, and that's good. But in between, in all of our planning and our striving, in our heart, in our intention, in our mind, in our heart and mind, we have no intention to do anything evil, ill intent. We have none of that. And when we are of that thinking and intending, and then we go about doing what we have to do and making sure that we're connecting, because none of us have it all, none of us know all. And when we operate with that kind of thinking, I don't mind connecting with others. I don't mind sharing what I know with someone else just to make the process move on along, make it beneficial. Praise be to Allah. Has it always been that way? I can honestly say no, because in my earlier years, you know, well, you set out to do what you feel you have to do. And in my thinking, I wasn't thinking about my mind didn't even explode to the part of the greater mission. I knew I wanted to help people, but how to get to that point, it all depended on me doing what I had to do, not realizing that Almighty God will send along the way people who will attach themselves to what you're doing, or God will attach you to something that someone else is doing. And it will be a contribution from you, none in either way. So the working of righteous deeds, making the intent to do right and to be right by people, by persons. Yes, we feel the ping or the sting when we're constructively criticized. But you know, those are building blocks. I don't know if you have, but when I receive constructive criticism, I've developed a way of chiseling through the words and going right to the action that's necessary. Regardless of, you know, okay, and say, forgive yourself. No, yeah, I mean, I say no. No, right away it's like, okay, girl, why did you do that? Why did you do it? Oh, God, please forgive me. Oh, God, how many, oh, Lord. And it's like, how can I correct this? But, you know, you do. You forgive yourself about what you did, because, yes, you did it. Tomorrow, if you live again through the next day, you're living by Almighty God's blessings, and you live to correct that. Or if it's uncorrectable, you know, maybe you said something to someone and you didn't mean to say it in the manner in which you did, and they've gone off into the wide blue yonder. You won't see them again. I know our imam was explaining to us about him going on Hajj and how he failed the test. He said a father and son were coming through to get into the prayer line. The father instructed for the son, you know, just to find a space, and he pointed right next to the imam to take that space up, you know, to close the gap, right? But the imam had his prayer rug turned just for him. When he looked and he realized the young man didn't have a prayer rug in front, before he could correct that, the father realized it and called his son to another spot. He said that made him feel so, before his Lord, he is standing in the prayer line. Before his Lord gave him an opportunity to share. Well, he said the opportunity came again, not with the little boy. But Allah did favor him and bless him with that opportunity again. And he says, wow, he jumped to the opportunity. So that's what I mean. When sometimes we don't get the opportunity at first, and by Allah's grace, we do. But at the first juncture, feel that we missed that opportunity. And we don't consider ourselves being selfish, but you know what? Yes, we're being selfish. own it and forget about it. Go on to the next step, rise up from it, and know what selfishness looks like, and don't be selfish. Don't be selfish again, and definitely don't be ungrateful. Mm. Someone offers you something. Oh, I don't like that. No. Or they do something for you. Well, why you had to do it that way? Why did you? Oh, how ungrateful. Just accept it and make the best out of it. Alhamdulillah. Okay. All right. You all understand. Praise be to Almighty God. So we seek refuge with Almighty God from the shaitan, the rejected enemy. But the enemy is always working on us, right? Sneakily working on us, coming from different corners. And I don't care what category it's in, whether it's in personal self with family, or trying to correct certain things that family has gotten involved in. Ooh, you name it. Personal self with work, with co-workers, or with those in charge of giving you the directions, the supervisors, the managers, you name it, the presidents, whoever. How do we take it? We have to take it in stride, because if we listen to the words and then chisel out the main objective in the whole word, in the whole conversation, chisel out just what is necessary, what's needed to be done. And you know, just live to see another day, God willing. Ask to live to see. If you see another day, that's like the one being out in the ocean and saying, Lord, if you just make it, let me make it back to shore. I promise you I'll do such and such and such. Thing where we get on the battlefield and we're aware and we get sidetracked, or we get side, what's the other word, when we get side swipe, or, you know, something blindsided. Yes, when we get blindsided. But praise be to Allah, we need one another, don't we? Yes, we do. We need one another. So let's go to our pause for the calls. We're right here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. I'm Martha Naila Abdullah, and I want you to always go to cwsc.us. And while you're there, you can scan through the information that's being shared, but don't forget to click on that blue donate button. We appreciate everything that's being shared financially, and we definitely appreciate the volunteerism. We appreciate the volunteerism, and we look forward to more volunteers. We know at some juncture, any organization, you want to be able to bottom line is for there. You won't ever get to the point of what a person is worth. I don't want to say it that way, but for all the volunteers, we're so thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this process, we pray to Allah to be able at some point give a stipend for the services that ones are offering. And we know that there's value in volunteerism as well. So this is why I believe that we can never pay a person equated to their volunteerism, but we can compensate for something of what they're doing, God willing. That goes for every volunteer that steps forward, inshallah. But we're going to be asking for your help in our searching for the funds, and the funds are for just that, you know, to help those who are volunteering and help those who are of organizations giving the service out to those in need. And, of course, as we heard this morning, not being an enabler, truly improving the life of individuals that are in need. again, when you go to cwsc.us and click on the blue donate button, think of it that way, all right, that you're contributing to a great striving to work deeds of righteousness, right? Yes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said what? That, oh, well, I'll come back to that. And continuing on, you can email us. That's info@cwsc.us. You can leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297. Like us on Facebook, Community-Wide Shura Conference. Or you can go to am360.org. You can tweet us. That's at the at symbol, capital CWS, lowercase HURAA. That's at CW Shura. All right, we're going to share with you one of our public service announcements, and when we come back, you please feel free at any time to press 1 on your phone and share. I'm Martha Naila Abdullah, and we will be back in a moment.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
I understand that, yes, there's opportunity in America. Bless them to understand that when we do it the right way, we can influence America. We know America is a great experiment. We know that we're working towards a more perfect union. Yes, we know all this in our American society. But the framers of the Constitution of this nation, our forefathers, they set up a government that if it's not working, you can fix it. If it's not working, you can change it. We don't have dictatorships. We don't have monarchs. This is of the people, for the people, and by the people. And I know that's what it says on paper, our realization. We have a long way to go to our realization.
We don't run from challenges. We overcome any obstacle. We don't cower in the face of can't or too difficult. We find a way to make it happen through faith, work, and the power of the good internet. We don't seek results that are just ordinary because a believer is supposed to be extraordinary. Who are we? We are the volunteers of the CWSC, ready, willing, and able to lend to the Creator a loan that will be added to and multiplied many times over. Think you have what it takes to be a CWSC volunteer? Then register with the NCNRD. Your talent, experience, and knowledge. Want to learn more? Visit cwsc.us. Look for the NCNRD today, and you too can help unleash and harness the power of the group internet. And together, we can remake the world. This has been a public service announcement from Imam Abdul Hakim Abdullah, American Muslim 360 Radio, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Assalamu alaikum.
Take a moment and take a deep breath, remembering our dear brother, Imam Abdul Hakim. May Allah be pleased with him, his services, what he strives for, in his time that he was here amongst us. And so we have a mark that he has left with CWSC AM360. Praise be to the Lord, may God, we don't run. So let's make that true, right? Let's make it true. So we're back. Community developmental stages. Through our lives, we're going to have words entering our mind. What we do with those words is the difference between being right or wrong, or doing something evil or doing something right or good. So back to the ayat, the seventh ayat of Suratul Ankabut. I was reading the Arabiya while we were listening to the public service announcement, and I wanted to see where, because in the Yusuf Ali translation, as we seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, to reject the enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful, benefactor, merciful, redeemer. Those who believe and work righteous deeds, believe in what? Well, we know it's been stated that we must believe in the one God and the last day. Okay? So those who believe and work righteous deeds, from them, and I'm looking, let's see, and I knew why I'm a song cat. Let's see here. One moment, let's see. Okay. So it's here in the Arabia. And we don't cast here, but it says, Ayn, which is about or all about, Ayn whom about you. So the disbelief that is about you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Sayyati, and that's, you know, as we strut about or swiftly move about, so in the Yusuf Ali's rendering, he says, from them shall we blot out all evil, desayatihim. So not just the ill act, but being a disbeliever. Whatever the ill act caused would be causing us to be on the side of disbelieving. So to balance out our being a believer and working deeds of righteousness, that's our intent. Should we connect with something that is of ill will? Is it of ill intent, or we connect with something that doesn't pan out to be good, or if we even did do something intentionally and it was ill will? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sharing that this idea, the process that we take on with a true intent as a believer in the one God and the last day, that we will have to be given account for our life or how we lived, what we did, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah will blot out, as Yusuf Ali's rendering, blot out all evil in them, as he says, in them. And the word is, Ahsanal Ladi. And we shall reward them according to the best of their deeds. So praise be to Allah. Let's just keep striving, everyone. Okay, we're back, and we're going to press. Don't forget now, you can press 1 on your phone if you want to choose to share whatever it is that you're thinking that you want to share. I want to go now to, after sharing what we just shared from Suratul Ankabut, This is information's sake, but it's a developing process that needs to take place. And that is, as we say about the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative, you have to go back or look back in order to work presently for the future. So let's go here to where.
You know what happens when you put rosemary in a jar of alcohol?
No, this is building. That's the wrong one. Hold on here. Nope. Information about what took place in the 1860s, from the 1860s to the 1960s, all right? And we know that, I mean, there were the laws. We're thinking about a people. Just consider this happening to any people. Yes, it happened to people that I look like. It happened to any people. There were so many. There were ones who were midwives. There were ones who were. There were people who had a life. And let me get. I'm going to get to. One moment. Let me see here. Okay. The early year. No. Okay, this says African Americans in Southwest Florida, and then historical census data. Now, I know last week I was asking everyone to think about, check out how many cities are in your state. Before we even get to the population that's in your state, what cities are there? And how were those cities formed? And to, you know, just knowing that part. Some were named after persons that were of the history of imparting unjust or inhumane treatment. But beyond that, now that part has, but have the laws been removed? So what city, how many cities and how many counties are in your, or districts are in, that make up your state? Well, let's go to the African Americans in Southwest Florida. Hold on 1 second here. This is a young man that's delivering the message. And I'm wanting to get it loud and well. This is at its height there. Support from the NAACP, everyone, too. Let's see if you can hear it. This, it says Black Mooresville, The Untold Story.
Purcell Vandenberg. And when were you born, Vandenberg? I was born in 1932. 1932. Yes. In Mooresville? In Mooresville? Yes. About a mile down the road here. You grew up in this church? Yes. What are some of the things that you remember about Mooresville growing up? Well, I remember, you know, church over here by that tree. That was the back of the church, that old church. And it was a school over here. And it was known as one of the bigger black schools around. They closed up some. It was further out and moved the children into this school. So we had three rooms. And we had three teachers to start. I mean, you know, when I started. And we had a Reverend Henry. He was our principal. And we had a Miss Smith. She used to teach third, fourth grade. We had a Miss Feemster. She taught the first and the second grade. Reverend Henry, he had the fifth and the sixth. So we knew. Friday school was here, but we weren't allowed to go there. My mother was telling me that when they first started here, they gathered around a big oak tree at service. And after that, Dan Barbara gave them 4 acres of land. After that, they built up a harbor, and they started having service under the harbor, so they built a one-room church, and they stayed that church, so, you know, they couldn't use it anymore. At the time, they had the church, so they had the school, modern school, so they about having church in the schoolhouse. They have school through the week, then on Sunday they have church. They had church in the schoolhouse to deal with this. I think this was built in 1955. By the time I finished school here,
it's getting a little low on me.
They built gun bombs. So that was the first high school, And some of us were able to form gun bombs. So after they closed the school,
okay, we're going to go to another part here. This is to take us through, that was in Mooresville. It's Mooresville. Mooresville. And that was, let's see, the library was constructed in 1951. Well, let's continue on here. That was the town of Mooresville. Here's another person. The first two gentlemen were brothers. Their last name was Vanderbilt. Vandergaard, excuse me.
And Mara.
Okay, that's a repeat.
Parallel to the school. Yeah, sometimes I will wait until 8 o'clock, 5 minutes till, and I'll be there right on time. So, yes. Right next door to the school. Wonderful time. We were a small school, and it was 40, I think it was 43 students in the first grade when we started, and when we graduated, I think it was 12. Yes.
He said, what are some of the things you remember?
First of all, we didn't have enough students in the whole school for a football team. We won a lot of trophies. Baseball. Actually, the baseball field was adjacent to where we lived. And I would be out there, and my friends, 14, 15, 16, we'll play ball all day long in the summertime. Because we didn't have anything else that we to do, and we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, very good.
Oh, yes. I went to New Jersey. I played with the New Jersey Jets.
and we played in Leroy Park. And in the 65, 66, we were invited to Greenville, South Carolina, where we had we played a team there. That's the first travel. Yes.
He asked about segregated teams. Yes.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Jeffrey Houston. I've been in the church all my life, and I'm 61 years old. I'm born in 1961 here in Mooresville, North Carolina. I did not grow up down here in Neighbortown, and that's when my mother and father and my grandmother, we all lived uptown. And we all lived in the same neighborhood on the hike, what we call the Eastern Hike. Black area in Mooresville. There were two areas at the time, Eastern Heights and Cascade. West End wasn't an area because they had built a project. But we started out with two black neighborhoods, Eastern Heights and Cascade. And I was part of the Heights gang. And yes, and we did thought we were better than Cascade. That's kind of crazy, but we did. Now, we was all poor, but we thought we were better than the other, you know? That trash up on Cascade, thank God we ain't there. You know, and you're sitting there saying, why are we putting each other down? So we, even then, we would try to hold each other down, you know? But I grew up in a time when we was, lived in a neighborhood that was completely black, dirty houses, shacks, tin roofs, dirt yards, you know? You go out every morning, you sweep the yard. That's how I grew up, you know? We had a milkman to come every day and put your milk on the porch. You get it. We played in the woods. We didn't have... I'm going to take that back. We had a TV in our house. We were not allowed to use it. Back in the day, children were supposed to stay outside and play. I don't care what the weather was. Well, if it was thunder and lightning, you came in. But if it was hot, you stayed outside. It didn't matter. Stay under the tree. Get under the shade tree. You'd be all right. But we were forced to stay outside, and we really got to know the country. We got to know the woods. We got to know the trees. We were... wild children, you know, how I grew up.
I came to Mooresville because I wanted to. I wanted to be a, and back then I wanted to be an undertaker. And I came to work for Kevin. And when I came to work for them, I thought, you know, everything was going to be hokey-dory. But I found out it was different. I put up tents, washed cars, and I stayed in the basement. And I left them in there. Believe it or not, I didn't think a white man would cry, see a black man go. But I went to Cincinnati. And one of the fellas that worked with me, white fellow, he carried me to Cincinnati, to embalming school. And even and when I went to Cincinnati, you know, there was places I couldn't even go. Couldn't go because I had a black face. Graduated, got all these certificates and all this stuff on the wall. And believe it or not, they still treat you like dirt. But I never will forget what the head man told me. He was laying on the couch when I went to be interviewed. He says, my work is hard and less pay. That didn't bother me. I wanted to learn. I wanted to know how to do the embalming. What to do and how to do. But the bad part, it really got me. But we got paid. Man brought in check downstairs, me and another fellow, Mr. Vanderberg, was working. And he told me, now listen to this, I can't pay you what I pay my white boys. Because you be making more than they make. Now that's what he told me, but I stuck with that. That's when I went home and I told my mama and daddy about it. They told me, say, that's what you want to do. So if you make your bed hard, you got to sleep in. They all knew things bad. My father was a bootlegger. He was considered the biggest bootlegger.
His name is Barbara Neal Banks.
And because he was that, when the holiday season came, the sheriff and everybody wanted to call Vance. He said, Vance, I think we can get a gallon of liquor. And he said, I don't know why you're calling me out a gallon of liquor. I'll sell liquor. And they would both have a laugh about that. And he said, you know where to put it for me, Vance, and I'll put your money there. And that was that. So that he had a relationship with everybody. Yeah. And they knew him to be an honest man, hardworking man, and also a religious man, churchgoer, all of that. Superintendent of the Sunday school at St. Paul Methodist Church every Sunday. And anybody needed anything. If you went to the bank and you needed a loan, they may say no, but then they'd ask you for black. No bad plan. He said, why don't you call Vance? Tell him what you want to see if he'll come out there and sign for you. Thank you. Then he would make sure, okay, now, that's the thing. And they did. They made it. But Vance put his name out there.
Black history is more likely to call some people, being that it was black men, that you would know who was well known for certain things. Like my great-grandfather, George Ramsey, one of the first trash men back in the day for the city. So he used to haul trash with a mule, a wagon. I mean, you would know people's first of being certain things in our history because they would become well-known for it. So black history more was, if you knew somebody famous or knew somebody had done something, it was historical at the moment they did it. So it's pretty well-known who done what, who made changes, who did each day, and their name would flow through the community on who they were. So Black history is pretty much, in our community, is well remembered. You remember who done what, who was famous for doing what, and who was well known for doing what, or who opened doors for others to do certain things. So it's pretty much known to who people were. So
do you remember any story of your grandfather's name?
Well, he used to, he had a mule named Jack, and my grandfather used to tell me, he used to, before everybody went to bed, he had a Bible scripture back in that day. The Bible, I guess, was a book of choice of the house in that day, and he would have them quote scriptures, and he himself would minister himself. He was a minister in his own right, but those things I remember from word of mouth coming down through time, and they were followed through family history. I don't know what was coming to time. And the only thing that changed, but it would flow down through history.
When I graduated high school, I just did domestic work for about a year. Then my mother said, you need to get some more education. So I traveled to Charlotte to Carver College and got some training there. And then later on, and we were, of course, past the segregation, I was able to get continuing ed at Central Piedmont Community College. The black college for that college was Carver College.
Can you tell us more about that? I don't think I've ever heard of Carver College.
It was a little college created for black children who had graduated high school. It was an offshoot of Central Piedmont Community College. And it was carpool of about four of us from Mooresville there. However, we knew our place. You know, we knew we could not go certain places or certain things. In fact, when I went to the library, they didn't want to serve me. And this is when I had become an adult. But later on, I was able to go there and check out books and do things there in Mooresville.
My name is Brenda McKee. And tell us, you're a resident of Mooresville, lifelong resident?
A lifelong resident of Mooresville.
What are some of the things you remember about Mooresville growing up here that have stuck out in your memory?
The thing that I remember, we had to walk by two schools to get
South Street up to the top of the hill, and South School was on the right, across over, across the track, and down to the First Presbyterian Church. And to the right, she put those four. Yeah, well, why did you have to keep on? Segregation. During that time of segregation, were there any places that you were forbidden to go, or were you able to, were you accepted in all the places here in town? No. And then, yeah, we used to go a lot of places because the parents didn't, you know, allow us to go places. We knew where to go, we were not to go. I remember the dining store, that was one of the side doors. How was the race relationship with the folks in Portsmouth? I don't know. We stayed in our place and they stayed in their place. Like walking to school, doing one side of the sidewalk. And we'll be on the other side. Are you there? You waiting, trying to make us get off into the street so they could come down on the sidewalk. When they tried to make you get off the street and things, did that cause a war? Were there conflicts and fights and riots or anything?
The kids. Yeah, no, we didn't do any riots. And I don't know anything about riots. But it all been like that.
Good practice is what you as long as it can keep you fearful, keep you in control. And our parents have experienced, they had seen firsthand some of the things that could happen to you if you go out and not stay in what they said, your place. If you did go out and you rebel against what you felt like was unfair, ill treatment, you resisted them and to a greater danger. Because there were fine ways of getting rid of you. Didn't meet some accident, you would meet the judge and wind up with lengthy terms in prison. Mediocre sentences. I have experienced firsthand a brother at one of the functions on Main Street one night. It was one of his classmates got into a skirmish, and the police officer came up between them, and he had the place roped off. He took a rope and he strung the pole, struck my brother in the face with it. And he told the white boy, go home by every daddy can be with you. You going to jail. That's why I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, who are you? I said, that's my brother. I said, you're not going. Send that boy home and send my brother to jail when they both were guilty of the same thing. And it broke out into a big thing that night. But, of course, the next morning, they headed up. Well, about four police cars and more of you, because you were all in front of my house the next morning. Carry me uptown, tell me what all could happen to me. Your choice, you do it, whatever it is you want to do. But after talking to some other people that knew me and knew some of my people, he came to an agreement and let me go. Reward. Don't do that again. Feel like you've been done wrong to a higher authority. With the higher authority. Same ones that criminated me to begin with.
It's different when a law is passed. And not in any way.
That's Merlene Houston and Robbie Turner.
I remember thinking about how it would be going the front door. Y'all was going in the back. I'm getting scared. Go to the front door. And I thought it was so
mean, you really don't realize what it does to you on the inside when you're taken from what you feel is comfortable. I mean, I always had black people there to encourage me, to tell me I could do this, tell me I could do that. What do you want to be when you grow up? You know, you can do that. But come out into the world where integration, and it was still got an and they weren't always nice. The jobs I had, even in many, I had to work through it.
Because there is a 12-year age difference between us, when I came along, I was pushed to go towards education, which is why I'm still now an information junkie. I realized that just wasn't fair, because our grandmother and our dad worked at Corrupted Mortar Mill.
Yeah.
And he was known as a jokester. But little did they know, he was joking, but he really wasn't joking. Because he always was this way. He'd always make you laugh to throw you off balance. And so that's how our dad got through.
And I was early new. Because when I went to junior high, the old junior high used to be the old Central High School. And that was the first year in North Carolina that bit the bullet. I mean, black and white could go to get an option. That's the first year was an option. Second year was mandatory. I went to the old junior high. I was out there playing marbles. Recess or whatever. And white kid came up and like threw dirt in my face. Other things is I felt like detail and it's the same old story. You know, I think what people are trying to suggest to is when we went to the new junior high, brand new school, like a brand new beginning, some of the teachers would just kind of ignore you, wouldn't ask you questions. It just felt like that you were like marginalized. And one of the experiences I had, they had the basketball court on the left-hand side, but facing like, I think it was a science room. And so we would go out there for recess. Kind of funny in a way. So a couple of kids were still out there playing. And as I walked in the classroom, I heard the teacher say, "That nigger is taking his ball." And other than that, I think we thought we were going to be low performers, so they wouldn't like answer challenges. And that's a bad thing. You got to make challenge these kids, make them read, and you got to start that at home. Dunbar High School, that's first in 12th, up until the 6th grade. And it seemed like it was more corporal type of punishment. You know, you had Norton Wood, you like, I believe it was a white man, said he was black, but he looked like a white man. And it seems like I'm not members of Dunbar that you always getting your hand slapped or something like that, or I don't remember much education going the first and sixth grade, other than when we played the Christmas thing that had the little flute or whatever bell on the song that I could still play. I don't remember much on that, and there was a lot of fights.
Okay, we'll stop right there, dear listeners. Want to go back to Sergio Anchor Boots and remind all of us as human beings, because this is about the evolving of the human family and much experiences that we talk about today about trauma. How can we not include the days of segregation as having a deep-seated part of the trauma? Now, what do you do with that trauma? As the gentleman just said there, he found a way to circumvent it, or he suggests that you circumvent it, find another way, find a way around it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ankabut, Ayat 7, and I'm going to just read the Yusuf Ali's rendering. As again, we want to continue in our thinking, in our minds, always say, seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind. And press one on your phone if you want to share. Says those who, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, those who believe and work righteous deeds, from them shall we blot out all evil that may be in them. And we shall reward them something. No, we shall reward them according to the best of their deeds. So imagine the situations that occurred. And as I started at the beginning saying, imagine any people being mistreated. Any people. Yesterday, today, mistreatment is mistreatment. Trauma is trauma. Having to find a niche in our heart, in our mind, and connect it to the purpose of why we're here. Really, truly connected, because the beginning here, they spoke about a church. And on the one that I was watching earlier, the church was the focal point for the spiritual. It was the focal point for the education, and it was a focal point for the generation connection. And that means, you know, the cultural development, the games, the playing, the family uniting and having those what we call good times, music and more. And so, but looking at and remembering that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah will blot out the evil, you know, because you may be in your heart and soul desiring to do something. If you just had the chance, you would just knock the block off somebody, especially today. The evil is stirring. I say evil. The ill will is stirring within, but Allah will blot it out and reward for the best of our deeds. And that's with anyone. That's one, again, on your phone if you want to join in the conversation. In order for us, meaning any person that's seeking to evolve and be on a higher, better plane of thinking in order to reach remaking the world, in order to reach the peace, in order to have a fair amount of goodness being shared, it takes immersing ourselves into the best of ourselves. And that only comes from our remembering Almighty God. But we will get to a part to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows fighting, right? Defending person, your body is violated or your surrounding is violated. You have two things that you can do. You can think about it before you act or react, and think about a way that the gentleman says circumvent. Find a way around it, but retaliate either way. Anyway, you know, there's a way to retaliate. So the opponent, we have to stay connected with the life of the prophet, Muhammad, the best example for all of humanity, even those who have caused or were the ones who created incriminating situations or are inhumane or ones who brought out the inhumane treatment. And those who are doing it today and those who are working on the policies, using the policies. Remember when the young man was stopped by the residents who said that the young man in Georgia who was jogging and he stopped by this house being developed, and the residents said there had been theft, houses had been broken in, so they took it upon themselves to go after him, and they eventually killed him. But did as a defense, what they used as a defense, you remember that? They went to the old records on the books, and they were using that as a defense, that they had the right to prevent anything, whatever they thought was being someone doing something wrong or bringing to Almighty God. Those policies, those laws that are on the books, we can have, and I know the constitutional, you know, amendments have been written to outlaw a lot of them. But in areas, in towns, in districts where people are just living their lives, and then when you get stopped by, quote-unquote, an officer, as the gentleman was saying, he was born in the 60s. He was born in the 60s. So, I mean, and his was, I think this was the same one. Anyway, his brother was going to be taken to jail because of the little fight that he was having with the other young man who was of European descent. So certain situations may be in someone's subconscious, in their unconscious, or maybe they're consciously aware of what's happening, and they will impart, judges, impart leniency to some, and then you, well, I just say wrongfully impart time to others. And we know we're dealing with that now with the criminal justice. I don't know if you call it criminal justice, the justice system, period. So our focus is on evolving, and not to compare ourselves with someone else. We can only say to ourselves, every person, what are you going to do? What is it that you believe? And is it at times that you call on something else other than Almighty God when we say, that God is greater, and God is the one that we turn to, and God is the answer, will answer our prayer? Do we find ourselves sometimes turning to something else and letting it be the God at that moment? We'll be back. Press your phone if you want to come into the conversation. I'm Martha Nyla Abdullah, and we're right at the moment now for CWSC Community Buzz. Have you heard? And what is happening in your area? Please share. We'd like to hear from you. All right? All right. We're going to go to a public service announcement. You're on the American Muslim 360 broadcast, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
The idea of democracy gives every citizen a say in their government. In order for this government to work, people have to turn out. People have to show an interest. People have to vote. This is what we're hearing throughout the nation. And that is really what time it is, family. So I'm saying that to say participatory, meaning what? It's not about us electing leaders. It is not good enough to just show up to the poll, put somebody in office, and don't hold them accountable. Participatory democracy. Let your voice be heard.
On the next episode of Community Buzz, we'll welcome three American Muslim leaders. First, Imam Hananiah Shabazz, Imam of the Zayd Ibn Harith Islamic Center, and National...
Whether you're listening on your iPod, smartphone, computer, or even sharing in the conversation, American Muslim 360 brings our group intellect together and is there for you every day. Be there now for AM 360. Pledge your support at cwsc.us. Help us stay the place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. CWSC and American Muslim 360 wish you and your family a blessed and prosperous new year. On the next episode of Community Buzz, we ask, have you heard? Or...
And that is the music for Community Buzz. It's what I was working towards. Community Buzz, have you heard, everyone? What is happening in your area? Something's happening. Life is happening in our area. So press 1 to share what is happening in your area. While you're thinking on what is happening, I'm going to share what is happening with CWSC, Community-Wide Share Conference, and partners throughout the country. We're 50 states strong. Say it again. 50 states strong. Is there any state that comes to your mind that you can think of, that you think on, and you think, oh, that's, I don't have to be concerned about, it's far away from me. I live in Maine, and that's Washington State, or I live in Florida, and that's Washington State. I'm too far away to be concerned about Washington State or Washington, D.C. That's only Washington State, or Maryland, or North Carolina, South Carolina, on up the East Coast. And perhaps on the West Coast and California, the one state almost take up the entire West Coast. Not for, if it wasn't for Oregon and Washington State and the other states that's gone across the northern border there of Canada, North Dakota, South Dakota, coming around to the what is the Michigan, the lakes, and all. We're 50 states strong. In other words, this country has made itself, this land and the Constitution has made itself available to everyone. So if we don't line up and get thrive, work for, do things, be active, be alive. Be alive 50 states strong. Don't even second guess yourself. Just say, I'm going to live in North Dakota. Yes, I am. I'm going to go up there and I'm going to find me a piece of land in North Dakota and I'm going to stake a claim and it's going to be all right. Now, what's entering your mind when I say that? 718-344.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for taking my call, but I'll be brief.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. How are you, sir?
Since I am jumping high, I'm loving it. I'm thankful that Allah opened my mind to just say I can live anywhere, huh?
I mean. You know, they have the, I don't want to promote a paper, but there's a particular paper that comes out every day, and it has all 50 states in it, and you can read on all that's going on in all 50 states. I do that on the regular. But my purpose for calling, because I've got to make my good prayer, was the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, when you're angry, don't say nothing. Just stay quiet until you calm. Because, you know, when you're angry, you're not thinking. And when you're angry, you're getting more angry. So the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, says, stay calm. Just don't say nothing. And I think that's a good idea.
Alhamdulillah, I agree with you, sis. That's what I said. You know, it's just realizing that Allah will blot out all the ill wishes in your mind. You don't have to express it. Turn to Allah in your mind. Think of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just like you just said, and know that the reward is going to be, and you will still accomplish doing the best thing. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, sis. Thank you so very much. Love you, Lala.
You're so very
I'll be sharing
welcome.
About the, I'll be sharing about the Yusuf Shah and other things happening up there, inshallah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Wa alaikum
salam. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Have a good night.
You too, love. All right, everyone. This is the Lala. Everyone, if you don't know, let's see, and I don't want to get wrong. I just say she's up in the Northeast. How about that? New Jersey? New York? I believe. But nonetheless, she's up there in the Northeast. And much is happening up there. We often hear about Masjid Allah. I think there are two Masjid Allahs. And then there's happening. There are events happening that's lively, keeping the spirit alive in all over the United States. Different groups have taken on certain tasks, and those tasks have people active. And I'm speaking specifically now to those who are connected with the leadership of Imam Warsdeen Muhammad, allow themselves to be disciplined and finding processes that will work, that will make a difference in the areas where they live or where we live. And I'm here in Florida, and I tell you, yes, we take the whole state of Florida on. We're not even thinking now. I won't say we're not even thinking about the election, so to speak. We are. We're not going to divulge how we're thinking and what actions we're taking. But just knowing that we are finding inroads above and beyond the segregation period that was here in Florida. And not sleeping on any of the policies or laws that were engineered. Now, we may miss some, but believe you me, when they come creeping through, we're not closing our eyes nor our heart nor our tongue, but we will speak accordingly, as Lala was just saying. We know just when. We see that the days of rioting didn't help. Some things were done to provoke that, and then the outcome was going to be that you were going to get arrested if you weren't shot and killed or hung or drowned or fed to the gators. So Florida is adjacent to, what, Mississippi, the tip, and on the northwest, then Alabama, Georgia. We're connected, land, territory. We're connected. So, of course, we would love to know what is happening in Alabama, what's happening in Georgia, what's happening in Mississippi. And Louisiana drops right down there at the water line, which is adjacent there to Texas. And Texas is just across the Gulf from Louisiana, and Texas is just across the Gulf here from Florida. And on around from that is New Mexico, or Old Mexico. But New Mexico being part of the 50 states, how are we expecting to live? So let's go to something that has been sent to us from some of our partners here. Hold on one moment here. Well, I'm going to share this from Kareem Huck. We're just keeping that in, keeping this in front of us. The 13th Amendment, as you know, this week on NPR, National People Radio, they were discussing the 13th and 14th Amendment. And the 13th Amendment Freedom Week, Kareem Huck has been sharing the relationship between the Emancipation Proclamation and the 13th Amendment. The Emancipation was issued by President Abraham Lincoln on September 22, 1865. It stated that if the rebel southern states did not cease their hostilities and return to the Union within 100 days from its issuance, which would be January 1, 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation would be in effect, and that, quote, all persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall then be in a rebellion against the United States, shall be then henceforth forward and forever free. The Emancipation Proclamation was issued by virtue of the power, quote, vested as the commander-in-chief of the Army and the Navy of the United States in time of actual armed rebellion against the authority and government of the United States, and as a fit and necessary war measure for suppressing said rebellion, end of quote. The war measure was the only card that Lincoln could play. The war measure could not be stopped by the Supreme Court at the time, which was packed with Democrats. Now, stop right there. In the time of 1863, the Democrats, very strategically happened in the time that the Republicans were those on the side of freeing the slaves. The Democrats, which they were called the, you probably know better than I, the Dixiecrats, they were on side of, they were mostly the Southerners and wanted to maintain this economic plight for themselves, or sustaining this economic plight for themselves. So over a period of time, the strategy was, well, why don't we become Republicans? And then, but you know, you see the movement by seeing the nature of the people, the lawmakers, by wearing a title, and then, but their laws, their policies, and everything, it was beginning to be crooked. I mean, cause harm, cause life to be disturbed, the peace to be disturbed in the lives of people. And so you could see where the twist happened. African Americans would say we were not all Democrats. The shift was made, I believe, at the time of was it Lincoln was a Republican at that time, right? But then I think Democrats come along with, well, let me research that and see which president it was where the shift was made. You may already be aware of it. I'm not, but I will certainly study up on it and find when did that shift happen that African Americans became Democrat because they followed the movement of the policies of what those services that were coming to them, which was at the time an aid to level the field of not being able to get out and circulate in the land like they wanted to, you know, travel free in the whole 50 states. Lay your claim to some land. Join together with others and buy up some land, open up a commerce center so that the flowing of business could maintain and sustain the life of everyone, the needs of everyone. I mean, generally, we rush to nowadays is barbers and hairdressers and nails and then there were, you know, clothing and some sewing and knitting and looming and you name it, manufacturing. That's what the word I want to get you. There was a lot of manufacturing rather than retail. Then the retail depended on the wholesale, the manufacturing to be the wholesalers and the retailers would then depend on the inventory from that. So that's still a structural, that's good structure, right, for any community that wants to sustain itself and be a viable asset for others who travel through. The food industry, you know, cooking and growing the food first and then packing it, you know, picking and packing, getting it tween. A canning industry opened up. And then the livestock. So we have, there's so much that can be done that shouldn't be left alone to someone else to supply for any one community or, and say community, but look at the entire state. Don't just look at one city. How many cities, how many counties? Think about supply and demand. The demand, number one, is here to live. But so much we're alienating ourselves from the true demand and getting this fictitious demand. And what I'm looking at is things that cause us to need oxygen, things that cause us to need these aids, these appliances, you know, from a cane to a wheelchair. These things have become a need because we've alienated ourselves the recreation from the deep breathing, from the exercise, from the eating correct, or You name it. We've alienated ourselves from the real needs, so we have these supplemental needs. Mm. So what is happening in your area? Are we all gearing ourselves, especially the African descendants who neighboring areas are so more impoverished educationally, economically? Are we gearing ourselves, feeling the responsibility to carry out the support that is needed in the area? I believe we are. Prayers, the opportunity is here, but the availability of how to is coming forth. So what is happening in our areas beyond the necessity of prayer and the necessity of congregating and the necessity of studying Quran and studying the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, and imparting that wonderful information over to others. How are we imparting the need for those who are just distraught because they can't see beyond what is oppressing them. All right, so connect with CWSC, everyone. Now go to cwsc.us and register either with MCNRD, Model Community National Resource Directory, or if you're so busy and you just don't have time to participate with one of the intelligentsia components, then by all means, click on the button that says Join CWSC. You can send your dollars. You can share the information with others. And by all means, you have the ability, too, to print out some of the materials. And that's one of the areas that CWSC is moving into in communication. We want the flyers and the cards to be in as many hands as possible, definitely in the masjid. And this is why we are, one of the strategies is that we're connecting with the leaders throughout the country, especially, again, in association with the leadership of Imam Warsi Muhammad, Rahimullah Huley, because we're in communities that are depressed, and we want to bring whatever we can by our partnering with others who have the expertise to go in and cord first with meeting and greeting. Do you realize how important that is to show people that they are important just by speaking with them, taking the time to get to know their name? Not pay attention to their depressed state. I mean, anyone who's homeless, who's walking around, whatever, human being, be human. And at the same time, on another phase of it, ask what they can do. As you remember the quote of may God bless him, forgive him his sins, and grant him high station in paradise, President Kennedy, John F. Kennedy. And I remember in the 60s when he was running, I mean, the early 60s, was that 1960? So he was running in 1959. I remember. And I remember his words saying, Was it in the 60s? Was he? Yeah, 1960, in 63, he says, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And I remember Imam Warsi Muhammad, Rahimallahu Alayh, may the mercy of Almighty God be upon him, said also, if you have difficulties, and I'm paraphrasing, if you have difficulties in your life, find someone something that you can do to help someone else, and it will alleviate concentration on your problem. Not that you will overlook your problem, taking care of it, but it will eliminate your dwelling on your problem, and Almighty God will grant you relief. All right, dear listeners.
All right, dear.
Now. Okay, I'm wondering why my board is not showing up the time. But nonetheless, here, we have a few more moments here, and we're going to share with you on the masjid. I said with Masjid Shah, there's a video. Let me see here. Hold on. Video that was shared with us. This was from Imam Abdul Karim Rahim. Let's see. Yes, he says, please listen to this whole video and donate what you can, a dollar or more. Also share with your family and friends and neighbors and coworkers and ask them to help in sharing this video too. And this is on YouTube. I'm going to go there now to share this with you. and mommy don't want to get it just right for you. Watching a video, an interview with Imam Yusuf Shah. The words I've heard of his life have been very inspiring. But the interviewer was asking him questions about our dear brother Malcolm, and I'll be pleasing him and granting him a house station in paradise for giving him his errors, and the positive that there existed the possibility of those who could do something incriminating. But he spoke just shy of saying that that was the cause of Malcolm's death. Okay, hold on one moment. Okay, let's see here. My head in the way. Wow, why am I not seeing this? Okay. All right. Well, if you have access to the internet, everyone, you can the Yusuf Shah video. I just say Bismillah. I'm not seeing here. Okay, it says Imam Yusuf Shah. Now, about the archive of this, says 65-year-old Muslim, this is a digitized version of an article from the Times print archive before the start of the online publication in 1996. To preserve these articles as they originally appear, the Times does not alter, edit, or update them. And I'm wondering if I'm able to read it here. No, I can't. It's an article on Imam Yusuf Shah, 65, and they term it as Black Muslim Leader. Imam Yusuf Shah, Black Muslim who helped, and we want to say a Muslim, who helped to lead the Nation of Islam's Harlem Mosque for 23 years and directed its Fruit of Islam security force in 20 eastern states. He died in his sleep on Wednesday at his home in Mount Vernon, New York. He was 65. He had heart disease, his family said. Mr. Shah was a top aide with Malcolm X and Louis Farrakhan until they left the organization, originally named Joseph Gravitt. That's GRAVITT. Mr. Shah was born in Detroit. His father, also named Yusuf, was active in the Islamic movement of the Moorish Science Temple of Noble Drew Ali, and Mr. Shah joined the Nation of Islam in Detroit. In 1952, the organization's leader, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, sent him, Yusuf Shah, and Malcolm X to Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz to New York to organize a fledgingly mosque, the Malcolm Shabazz Masjid. Mr. Shah was designated a captain and was widely known as Captain Joseph. He remained a leader of the mosque during the crisis of Malcolm X's descent and assassination in 1965, a police shootout at the mosque in 1972, and Elijah Muhammad's death in 1975. Muhammad's son, Waris Deen Muhammad, rahimahullah, named Mr. Shah an imam 1975 and relied on him as a senior advisor. Later, he became minister of the Southwest region for the American Muslim Mission. Among his survivors are his wife of 38 years, the former Sylvia Johnson, three daughters, Mariam Shah of Manhattan, Marlene Shah of Atlanta, and Rukaya Shah Garland of the Bronx. Three sons, Yusuf Ibn of New Haven, and Amir and Jamil, both of Mount Vernon. And that, everyone, is the life that is right there preserved for Imam Yusuf Shah. May Allah be pleased with him, grant him high station in paradise, as we read from Surah Ayat 7 of Surah, those who believe and work righteous deeds. From them shall we blot out all evil that may be in them, and we shall reward them according to the best of their deeds. Praise be to Allah. So the Yusuf Shah Islamic Center is being moved from one location to the other for more accessibility to those who, and they have indicated that it's three flights of steps that you have to go up, and to make it more accessible for those who have aged with the mosque there are now moving to a more useful building, and they need all of our help. And that's why they say even $1, don't take it for granted. And there are ways that you can submit those dollars or the dollar. By all means, if you need information on it, please just dial 910-317-0297 or email us info@cwsc.us and let it be known that you want information on the Yusuf Shah building renovation and or you can go on internet and look it up. And the information is there. That is with Imam Musa Abdul Ali, and we will be interviewing him again, and he will become a stationary voice here, inshallah, next month for the Jummah. So, inshallah, you'll get to know more and form that relationship. Remember, CWSC, when you hear my name, think on relationship, the group intellect, Amrahum Shura Bainahum. CWSC, however you remember it, in one of those areas, by all means. All right? Praise be to Allah. There's so much going on. I'm sure you're aware of the irregular activities that's coming up. September 3rd, Labor Day weekend. You know that it's going to be Zoom for Mosque Cares. I believe it's going to be in person in Inkster, Michigan. Inkster, yes. And the DNA, I was about to say reunion, but you know what I mean. So in December, second weekend in December, and it's going to be up in Newark, New Jersey. Yes, in Newark, New Jersey, where Imam Abdul Karim, the president of the Muslim Journal, resides. So we will, community-wide Shura conference representation, we will be moving up and down the East Coast to commune with everyone and keep you in touch with that. And we may come across your path as we will be as well coming up and down through the Central and through the West Coast. We are 50 states strong. So the 50-year Human Family Strategic Planning Initiative includes the Strategic Family Institute. That's with Munira Habil and Khalida Akbar, and the connections with Jamal Dean Bilal and Latifa Hameen with their assistance on relationships. All right? So the Strategic Family Institute, the directors are Khalida Akbar and Munira Habil. The other areas, the Speakers Bureau, you're going to be hearing more from the directors. They're going to be putting forth their voices on air, so you will get used to them. And one is Dr. Aretha Stewart out of Las Vegas, Nevada, with Bureau, CWSC Speakers Bureau. The other is, this is the Patricia Nima Mohammed, along there in Trenton, New Jersey, the director for the Volunteer Human Resource Network. You have William Kareem will be coming forth. He says, get ready, as he's the Leadership Development Council and internship, CWSC internship. And he's gearing himself. He's really, truly, praise be to Allah. He has a lot to offer to come forth with, to us with, and throughout the country, inshallah. He's there in New York. Is he in Harlem? Is he in Queens? I believe he's in Queens. Then you have Imam Abdulaziz, who's in Bronx, New York, Masjid Adams, the Center for Human Excellence. He's CWSC National Leadership Advisory Council and CWSC Ambassadors. So you have to see him at any of the given functions that will be going on. And we're going to connect, too, with Camp Khalil. We have been financially, through your support, we've been able to financially support Camp Khalil and Study Al-Islam. Through your support, we've been able to financially support Study Al-Islam. And when I say financially support their being a corporate entity as a sponsor through your support. And likewise with the schools, 150. The wonderful process that's going on there, initiated by Imam Adam Diya, and of course the assistance with his wife too, Bayina. It's a loving process. Schools that are in action right now, contributing to the broad-based education, truly educating the students that come to the schools. And needless to say, the Center for Excellence in Fort Myers, established by and with the assistance of the local community there in Fort Myers, Florida. That's Lee County, Fort Myers, Florida, by Imam Abdul Haq, who is now, I'm told, is in Virginia to offer his assistance. So there's a lot going on. I know I'm missing someone, something that's going on. I need your help with that. Please, by all means, if you have your Muslim journal, I have the last one that was submitted. Let's see here. The date is June 24th to the 30th. And we always want to be in support of the Muslim Journal. But it's headed with Eid al-Adha. For those who know, this is the month of Muharram, first month, and we're looking forward to the 10th day. For those who will connect with it, Ashura, in the month of Muharram. Much to be said about that. We don't take it lightly, being that this is the new year. So I should say to you, a blessed new year. Whatever we are prompted to do, let's take heed to Surah Ankabut and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing will be in vain, all right? Our work will not be in vain. So there's much to be shared here from the Muslim Journal. I won't begin to read now, but the advertisement here, you know, the message of concern is there, but there's the gala. So that already happened Sunday, July 16th. Let's go to the page where it says new owners of Al Medina Halal Market, Musa and Samaya Austin Sadiq, members of Atlanta Masjid, Atlanta, Georgia, with much joy and a sense of pride from the entire Muslim community of Atlanta, husband and wife, Musa and Samaya Austin Sadiq, have purchased Al Medina Halal Market. I saw that while I was there. A longtime prominent fixture in the Atlanta Masjid complex at 536 Fayetteville Road, Southeast Atlanta, Georgia. The facility has been owned and operated the last 20 years by Mohammed and Mahmoud Nassar, who opened moving from their native country of Jordan. Al-Medina fulfills another basic need for the indigenous Muslims who seek to be self-sufficient, also noting the Muhammad School of Atlanta, Salaam Memorial Cemetery, among, and let's see, we go to page 18. Passing by, but the alternative school as well. Invited to an iftar dinner. No, that's Muslim heritage. Excuse me. Okay, all of those in quest. Okay. Al-Medina has attracted customers, Muslim and non-Muslim, from throughout the Atlanta region and many others who travel great distances to obtain quality halal meat. The owners are currently completing the renovation of the store while still operating and promise to increase their product offerings to satisfy their customers. And praise be to Allah. That's what we're talking about. The more the merrier. Let's do this 50 states strong, everyone. Again, subscribe to the Muslim Journal online and in print. All right. Our dear Dr. Nuruddin is still hanging strong on the Lyme disease, L-Y-M-E. Lyme disease is a recurrent inflammatory infection caused by a tick, T-I-C-K, borne virus. It is characterized by a rash followed by flu-like symptoms. If untreated, it can result in chronic arthritis, nerve and heart dysfunction, an early sign of infection of a red area at the side of the bite, at the site of the, no, it says side of the bite, swelling and local inflammation of the knees and or other large joints is common. Chills, fever, headache, malaise, meaning just bad achy feelings, and skin eruptions often precede the joint problems. Here are some helpful tips. A digestive enzyme formula with meals will help ensure proper digestion and bioavailability of all nutrients, supporting a strong and healthy immune system. A protease formula between meals will help promote optimal immune function, reduce inflammation, and removal of toxic waste. A unique formulation of highly active proteolytic enzymes and antioxidants designed to help regulate inflammation suffering with inflammation of many different body systems as a result of Lyme disease. A probiotic supplement further supports digestion and immune system while maintaining a healthy gut environment. Other suggestions? Pro-digest with every meal or snack, protease, zyme, four times a day between meals, protease, the same, four times a day, and flora, zyme, morning and bedtime. Liver help daily with food. Use Genesis Phenomenal Enzyme Nutrition. Visit our website at www.drnuriddin, that's drnuriddin.com, or call 336-852-3040. Again, 336-852-3040. Watch Dr. Nuruddin streaming each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on www.gctv.vibit.com. So that's www.gctv.v as in Victor, I-E, B as in boy, IT.com. There you have it, dear listeners. A long-term provider of information, Dr. Nuruddin. And, of course, we don't want to miss out on our sponsor, our dear brother Muhammad Sharif, as he shares with us on soul.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sugar Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
The views expressed on AM 360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are not necessarily for the
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waris-Din Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waris-Din Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waris-Din Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
Peace and blessings. I'm DeLacy Umar Phillips, producer and host of the Dynamic Islamic Faith Program, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, right here on AM 360 radio broadcast, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. Brought to you each Saturday, 10 a.m. till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Preparing to make it in the land of plenty is how we focus on the principles of Al-Islam and how they prepare us to be successful in the dynamic, diverse life of the Western culture. Thank you. See you right here, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Saturday. Peace and blessings.
All right, another sponsor of CWSC, AM 360, and all of the intelligentsia, seed oil, and more. We don't have a PSA for the sponsorship, Imam DeLacy, but as you'll say, if you go on the website to let me get it right here, leaving me. For the black seed oil, Abyssinian platinum. Yes. That's A-B-Y-S-S-I-N-I-A-N, Abyssinian platinum. I'm going there. That's why I'm pausing, everyone. Yes, the Black Seed Platinum Black Seed Oil. If you go to, Black Seed Platinum, you can type that in and it will take you there as well. You don't want to miss out on supporting those who are supporting all of our efforts. As I said, Black Seed Oil and more. That's with Imam Delisa Umar Phillips and Professor Rabbani Muhammad. And you will hear them tomorrow morning, God willing, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can get more information. It says, welcome to Abyssinium Platinum, the original Black Seed Oil of Ethiopia, your gateway to good health. ...100% natural with no additives, preservatives, or pesticides. Fully organic and cold-pressed for purity. Said to be beneficial as a respiratory system builder, in addition to the many other health benefits, such as immune system booster, vigor, and vitality. Our products are also high in thymoquinone, that's TQ3%. Start investing in your health today and receive free shipping on our Abyssinium Platinum Black Seed Oil 8-ounce bottle. So you go there, beautiful website, everyone. And you can discover the wonders of Abyssinium Platinum Black Seed Oil as you see the men, the very distinguished personnel seated at a table, business-minded, right? As more and more people are reaping the benefits of our nutritional supplement, our Abyssinium Platinum Black Seed Oil is a must. It's a must-have for anybody looking for a new and healthier lifestyle. For more information, contact us. We have friendly and knowledgeable representatives who are happy to provide you with the information and assistance you need. There you have it, everyone, as definitely preparing to make it in the land of plenty. Have our dear brother, Ahmed Sharif, and Imam Delisa Umar Phillips, and it was the other is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal with Halal Industries, Do For Self. So everyone, we don't want to bypass the support of the supporters and you as donors. Please patronize those who are in business, and you know more. So send them to CWSC, they come through by way of email, info@cwsc.us, or they can dial 910-317-0297, all right, and we can discuss the sponsorship. See, any other information we need to share? Yes, that Al-Islam in Focus, 5 p.m. now. With Adair Deprisa Hadi. And here it is, the public service announcement.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Deprisa Hadi, director of the CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory and host of Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab, here on AM 360 Islamic radio station, asking you to join me Saturday evening, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, to share stimulating Islamic information and insight as we unite our spiritual and intellectual perceptions and cultivate our human existence together. Inshallah, I will hear you at the lab. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
And last but not least, before we play our music here, dear listeners, we want you to know of the other mediums, Kareem and others, very prominent ones that are on A New Day for Al-Islam after you've been here on AM 360, 10 o'clock every day, Monday through Friday. You will hear a presentation there on A New Day for Al-Islam, and they definitely promote the commentary of Imam Warith Deen Muhammad, Rahimullah Hulay, that you pretty much hear every day. So you can dial 515-605-9326. Again, 515-605-9326. Then you have Imam Mikhail Sahir, and that is with IWDM. There are a variety of presentations there, and I share the information with you on their phone number. Let's see here. One moment. The phone number for Imam Mikhail Sahir. Let's see. And that's 814. I have that number. Well, where is it now? Find it now. Oh, yes. Yes, here it is. 714-8-4673. Again, to the IWDM, produced by Imam Mikhail Sahir. 714 through Friday, you can hear presenters. But we want you to first come to a course. AM 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And those that are presenting, you can always go to their archives as well. For those shows that are coming on at the same hour, well, you can just type in the number or go to the website of IWDM. All right? With Michael Sahir, Mikhail Sahir. And you can re-listen to some of the missed presentations or presenters. We're wanting to cover as much as we can from making the connections, having a stronger relationship with the other mediums that are here, and we are working together. Inshallah. ClearUnderstanding.net with Imam Fahim Shuaib. You may already know his phone number. Clear Understanding, Fahim Shuaib, online radio blog talk as well, and on-demand episodes. Let's see here. He's on, let's see, in education. Oh, he was just on 4 hours ago. Today is what, Friday? Yes, with Juma, of course, on Fridays, Clear Understanding. Then on Wednesdays, on Monday, on Wednesdays, it's the radio brought by Muhammad, Rahimullah Alay. On Mondays is Wealth Creation. And on Saturdays is Universal Dimensional Leadership. And let's see. Yes. So we have, he's on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. And I don't see the number. Let's see here. Let me go to one. The phone number is usually it would show the phone number, everyone, and unfortunately it's not showing it here, phone number, but it is, if you go on the website, it's aclearunderstanding.net, and you can hear the previously aired presentations by our brother Imam Fahim Shuaib. And last but not least, Yahya Abdullah with World Ministry Al-Islam, World Ministry of Al-Islam. I know some of you may have his information. I don't have the phone number right here for me, but I'm definitely going to type in now to get it. One moment. World Minister of Al-Islam was Imam Yahya Abdullah. Or Al-Islam World Ministry, excuse me, Worldwide Ministry. Al-Islam Worldwide Ministry. The phone number is 469-245-4586. The Worldwide Ministry of Al-Islam, or excuse me, Al-Islam Worldwide Ministry, but the email is worldwideministry5@gmail.com. Again, worldwideministry5@gmail.com. Okay. And, of course, today's Juma, the topic was freedom, justice, and equality. That was part three. He's out of Jacksonville, Florida. All right, dear listeners. And he says, happy Muharram to everyone. There we have it. We will join you tomorrow morning, God willing, 7 a.m. with Imam Kareem Hamid for Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Created Purpose. It's been a pleasure being here with you. Let's go to our music. You know, I want Suad El Amin, but I will definitely go to It's Got to Be Thankful. That's of our time here. And we will merge back into making sure that we observe the prayer times too, inshallah. All right? Assalamu alaikum.
Early in the morning, sailing in prayer, seven fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
do the best that I can. Try and make a difference, 'cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
gotta be grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy who lives down the street who wants to grow to be a man, but life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He said, "Mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand?" Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, "You gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference
And anywhere you can, you got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Oh, yes, ending just right, all the things, and we put the rest with it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing us with, right? Do have a blessed evening, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. We'll see you, hear you, tomorrow morning, God willing.